Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible, go ahead and grab it. Maybe you have it, have your phone. Maybe you have your Bible. Stand to your feet with me. If you're a regular, you know the drill. We stand just for honor of the reading of God's Word. And if you've been here, you should remember where we're going to be. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. We're doing a series called These Things, because Paul wrote to his son Timothy, and he said, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly." And I'll wait until you get there, and we'll read it together. But this series is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, and then down to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Paul starts and then concludes this passage, this portion of Scripture, with these things. And so we're discovering what these things are that he said to command and to teach. So in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you that we get to be in your house and we get to look to your word. Let nothing that I say come from me, but I pray that you would speak through me by the power of your Holy Spirit today and that it would fall upon good soil. God, I pray that you would just minister this word to your people and that we would not be hearers only, but we'd be doers of the word. God, I pray that this would be a church that takes you at your word and walks it out, lives it out, and performs it every single day so that we can see a transformation, because we are in this community for this community to see people get saved, delivered, and set free. We love you and we give ourselves wholly to your truth today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My goal, my hope, was to cover the last three lines in this portion of Scripture, this passage, this verse today. I wanted to cover that he was preached among the Gentiles, believed on the world, and received up into glory. But as I started studying it, I realized we'd have to be here until starting point on Wednesday night in order to cover all those things. So we're just going to talk today about preached among the Gentiles, because we've already covered that God was manifested in the flesh through the gift of Jesus Christ. Jesus became the incarnation of Jesus. He was God in the flesh. He lived among us. He dwelt among us. People beheld his glory as the only Son of God. He was justified in the Spirit when he was resurrected from the dead, because the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead gives life to our mortal body. So he was justified in that way through the Spirit of God. He was seen by angels, is what we talked about last week. And that word "seen" means to attend to. He was ministered to by angels. He was assisted by angels. And we talked about how angels will assist you in your life. We believe if it's in the Bible, then it's for you, it's for me. Amen. And so we believe that angels are sent by God to assist. And I don't know about you guys, but this week, Pastor Madison and I have seen the word or name angel everywhere. I don't know if it's just because it's more on my mind, because we just talked about it. You know, it's like you start shopping for a certain type of car, and then you see that car everywhere, right? Maybe that's what it is, but I think it's because God is showing us, I'm with you. I'm sending angelic assistance to protect you, to cover you, to uphold you, to strengthen you, as he does in the Bible. And so we talked about that last week, but this week, I want to talk about preached among the Gentiles. We're going to highlight that. We're going to focus on it and realize what it means. Because I would ask, why is it so important that Paul would put it in this to say, why was Jesus preached among the Gentiles? Why, after saying God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, why would the next line be preached among the Gentiles? Why is that so important to the apostle that he would include it in a structural hymn of doctrine for the church? Why is it one of these things that Paul tells Timothy, I want you to command and teach? Or it's so needful that I write it to you and that you understand it, that it can't even wait until I come. You need to know it right now. Why is it so important that it couldn't just wait, or it could go without being said? Why not just say he was preached? Why say he was preached among the Gentiles? Why be so intentional and direct to point out that Jesus was preached among the Gentile? Well, today, I want to give you four reasons, okay? And so if you're taking notes, here's number one. Number one, the reason that this line is in here and it's in the gospel, it's in the truth, it's for us and we need to understand it is number one, God's will is for everybody to be saved. You see, in ancient culture, there was already an understanding that God had chosen Jewish people. They felt we are God's chosen people. We are the only people that God has chosen, and we are the only people that God truly devotes himself to and gives himself to and has access to God. And so that was kind of a common thing, that you were either a Jew or you were a Gentile. But Paul said, I want you to know, church, and I want you to know, Timothy, that he's not just the God of the Jew, but he's the God of the Gentile. He wasn't just preached and given, and God, Jesus wasn't just manifested to come to the Jews, but he was preached among the Gentiles. Now, some people don't believe and don't preach that God's will is for everybody to be saved. They think that only an elect few are going to be saved. I don't believe that. Here's why. Because there are too many scriptures that point me to the truth that God wants everybody to get saved. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell, anybody to suffer. I love what C.S. Lewis said. He said, nobody goes to hell undeservedly or unwillingly. What he's saying is God is a just God and he doesn't just decide you're going to hell, you're going to heaven, you're going to hell, you're going to heaven. You're a Jew, you're a Gentile, you're black, you're white, you're this, you're that, you're going here, you're going there. He gives everybody the opportunity to be saved. Because my Bible says this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And Shelley's going to try to keep up with me today on these scriptures because we got a lot of them. 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. Listen to this. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So how can you read that scripture and think God's already decided you're going to heaven and you're going to hell? It is not his will for people to go to hell. If people go to hell, it's because we choose, I don't want to do what you're asking me to do. I don't want to be who you're calling me to be, and I don't want to receive the gift that you're giving to me. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all, that's everybody, Jew, Gentile, Greek, you know, old, young, everybody. He wants everybody to come to repentance. Listen, he doesn't just save the white people, the black people, the Asian, the Latino, the rich, the poor. He chooses, I want everybody in the world to be saved and to find freedom and healing. That's why one of the bedrock scriptures of Christianity, everybody knows it, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, not just these few elect people, but whoever believes in him would have everlasting life. You see, Peter actually had to have this revelation. Paul was quicker to embrace the fact that Gentiles could be saved, but Peter still had this distinction between Jew and Greek, God's people and the Gentiles that were not a part of God's kingdom yet, but he was grafting them in through sending his son Jesus. Because in the book of Acts chapter 10, Peter is sitting in a house. In fact, actually, he's not in a house. He's on top of a house. He's on a rooftop. And God has to send down a vision to him three times to show him that what God has called clean, he should not call unclean. What God has chosen, he should not reject. And do you know that while Peter's having this vision on this rooftop, some men show up at the door. And you know who they are sent by to find Peter? They're sent by a man by the name of Cornelius. You know what Cornelius was? A Gentile. He was not a Jew, but he was a man who was seeking God, and he was offering alms to God and prayers, and he was seeking after God, and God remembered him because of everything that he had done. And so Cornelius sent people, and Peter comes to the house of Cornelius, and he realizes that even the Gentiles can receive not just salvation, but baptism in water and baptism in the Holy Ghost. And here's what he says in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. He had this understanding. Acts 10, 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Do you know what Peter's doing? He's admitting, I didn't used to believe this way. I used to think that only we could be accepted by God. Only we were chosen by God. The Gentiles were unclean, and they just were not part of God's people. But now I perceive, now I understand, now I have the revelation. God's will is that everybody would be saved. In fact, how do I know that Peter had this understanding? Do you remember where we read earlier? 2 Peter 3:9. Peter wrote the words. He said, God's not willing that anybody should perish. I had a revelation. I had a change of heart. He's not just the God of the Jew. He's also the God of the entire world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So the number one reason that it says that he was preached among the Gentiles is to make known that Timothy would teach and preach and understand that he's not just God of the Jews. He is also the God of the Gentiles. But point two is this, that he was preached among the Gentiles. Number two, to provoke the Jews to jealousy. That's one reason that the gospel was preached to the Gentiles. Yes, it's because God would that none would perish, because he loves everybody. He wants everybody to be saved. But did you realize that part of the reason that you and I as Gentiles have been preached the gospel and can receive the gospel is so that Jews can be saved? To provoke Jews to jealousy. In Romans, I want to show you this in scripture, and we'll get to these scriptures in a moment, but first I'm going to kind of give you an overview of what's happening in the book of Romans chapter 10 and chapter 11. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and you know if they're in Rome, then they're not in Israel, so they're not Jews. He's writing to Gentiles, and he's writing to people that have, as Gentiles, accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. They're serving him. They want to know him. And he is saying, and he's expressing in chapter 10, verse 1, his heart for his people, his fellow Jews, to know God. He's saying, I have this desire. In fact, let me read to you Romans chapter 10, verse 1. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel is that they may be saved. This is all my heart. This is what I want. I'm sent. In fact, he says later in this passage, I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, but he still had a heart for the Jews. He was sent to preach the gospel to the lost that were Gentiles, but he still had a heart that Israel might be saved. And next, he explains, as you continue reading down, and we're for time's sake not going to read all this, he explains that there is no partiality with God. Salvation is not based on who you are, but it's based on who you put your faith in. If you put your faith in God, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, then we can all be saved. In fact, he quotes the prophet Joel and says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But in verse 14, he shifts his attention to the need for evangelism to the people of Israel, because he asks and he poses a question to the church at Rome. He says, how shall they hear if there's no preacher? How will they hear if nobody tells them? What he's saying is, look, to the church in Rome, you have a responsibility. You've been evangelized to. Now you have a responsibility to evangelize back to Israel. And I want to show you something, because we have a great heart for Israel in this house, for God's people to be cared for, and not just cared for, but for them to come to know the Messiah. And I don't do a great job of this. I want to do better of making you aware of the missionaries that we support through this house, through your tithes, through your offerings. And there's a woman that we support in Israel, and she is Jewish, but she believes that Jesus is the Christ. She's been saved by his blood, and she is in Israel, and she's doing a work and she's ministering in Israel, and we support her on a monthly basis. Why? Because we believe that we wouldn't be saved if it weren't for the Jews. Because Jesus was Jewish. And so if you got a problem with the Jews, you got a problem with Jesus, okay? And so I want to show you some pictures here. These are some things that they're doing. This is in Israel. She lives in Tel Aviv. And there's a few pictures here. I just want to show you what's happening here is they gave gifts to Holocaust survivors a few weeks ago. And they gave them some food and some snacks and some honey and some tea. And they gave them warm clothes and blankets. There's a sweet lady enjoying the tea that they gave. There's a gentleman he received. And look how happy these elderly men and women are. And their goal is they don't just go in and give them something, but they go in and they spend time with them. And they break up the loneliness and the monotony of just sitting alone. Many of them are shut-ins, and they don't have any family or anyone to care for them. And so they gave them these gifts. But you know what else they do? They share Jesus Christ with them. And they tell them about the Messiah, that not is coming, but he's coming again. He's already come once, and he lived and he died, and he's coming again. And I want you to know, you are a part of that. That can't happen if you don't do what you do. So I want to say thank you for your giving, because we are able to sow into Israel and try to provoke the Jews to jealousy to know and find the Messiah. In fact, Paul continues in Romans chapter 10 in verse 19. He says, "But I say, did Israel not know? First, Moses says," listen to this, "I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation." Who's he talking about? You and me. He's saying, I'm going to use the Gentiles to provoke you to jealousy because I love you. You're still my chosen people, but you have resisted, you have rejected, and he prophesied, I'm going to provoke you to jealousy by a nation who are not a nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. In fact, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. I want you to realize, Jesus Christ was a gift to the Gentiles. We didn't ask for him. He was given freely for us. Romans, and as you continue to read down in Romans verse 11, chapter 11, verse 11, then Paul says this, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, listen, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. So he's saying, when he writes to Timothy, Jesus was preached among the Gentiles. What he's saying is he was preached among the Gentiles, but part of the goal in that is to provoke the Jews to jealousy. I want you to know we have a responsibility to provoke them to jealousy. Why? Because we know the Messiah that they think they're looking for. He's already come and his name was Jesus. He was already manifested in the flesh. He was already justified in the spirit. He was already seen by angels. He's already been preached among the Gentiles. He's already been believed on the world and he's already been received up in glory. And so we have a responsibility to provoke the Jews to jealousy because Paul goes on to tell the Romans in chapter 11 that we are saved. We're grafted in. We're a part of the family. We're a part of the body of Christ only because of the Jews' disobedience. The only reason that we are a part of the olive tree that has been cultivated by God, that is part of that family where Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches, the only reason is because the Jews were disobedient. And he says, if God cut off the natural branches because of unbelief, how much more might he cut us off, those of us who are not natural children or not natural branches? Therefore, we always have to have a heart for the Jews to get saved. Because we can't just sit over here and go, well, praise God, I'm saved, and forget about them. We have a responsibility that I think the church hasn't taken strong enough for long enough, and that is that we have to have a heart for God's people because we're only saved because of their disobedience. But the Bible says that they can be saved as well, and so we have to have a heart for them. Okay, so that's number two. So number one, the reason Jesus was preached among the Gentiles, number one, is because it's God's will for everybody to be saved. Number two, to provoke the Jews to jealousy. And we should be thankful that we get the opportunity to be saved, but we should minister to them. Number three, the third reason why Jesus was preached among the Gentiles is that Scripture would be fulfilled and Jesus can return. You see, Jesus can't come back to the earth until he had been preached everywhere. Yeah. I want to show you this in Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew 24, the disciples come to Jesus and they gather around him. They say, hey, will you tell us what it's going to be like at the end of times? And Jesus says, yeah, sure, I'll tell you. And he begins to disclose to them what it's going to look like. Wars, rumors of wars. There's going to be all these crazy things that are going to be happening. But in verses 9 through 15 in Matthew chapter 24, this is what Jesus tells the disciples will happen at the end of time. He says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. They're all thinking, why did we ask, right? I wish we wouldn't have gotten into this. And you will be hated by all nations for my namesake. Even better. And then many will be offended. Well, we're definitely living in that day and age, aren't we today? Right? You throw your gum out the window and somebody's offended by it. We'll betray one another. We'll hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, which is happening right now, the love of many will grow cold. This is not in regards to what I'm talking about. Let me encourage you with this. I shared this with our team this morning. Do not let your love for humanity grow cold because of lawlessness. It's easy to look at the news and to look at how people treat you, how people are asking, the way acting, the way things are going, and stop having love for humanity. Jesus said that people's love will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So love people, even if they don't treat you the right way. Okay, then in verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. What does that mean? Not just to the Jews. Okay? The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. After all this has been fulfilled, I want you to realize this. Jesus won't come back until everything he said will happen happens. It's God's heart that this gospel message be preached in all the world, not just to the Jews, not just to the Gentiles. That's why we have a responsibility. In Fort Payne, Alabama, do you realize there are people that have not been preached the gospel to? And we have a responsibility. If we don't tell them, who's going to tell them? Are we just expecting something, somebody to magically show up and tell them? No, we have a responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. If it saved us, it can save them. If he healed us, he can heal them. He said that the end would come after the gospel had been preached in all the world. Listen, when we do the work of an evangelist, we're fulfilling the will of God, but we're also doing this. We're helping usher in the return of Jesus Christ. If you read in the book of 1 Peter, he says that we can hasten the day of the Lord. How many of y'all, we sang about earlier, one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's final war with pain, and you know, death will give way to victory. Everybody wants to go to heaven, right? Well, we can't go to heaven unless we either die or Jesus comes back, and I'm not ready to die yet. I mean, I'm ready, but you know what I mean. I don't want to die, right? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die, right? So one way that we can get to heaven and be with God forever is by Jesus coming back. But he won't come back until this gospel's been preached in all the world. So we can hasten the day of the Lord by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can do that at the grocery store. You can do that at the barber shop. You can do that at the tire place. You can do that standing across from the fence instead of complaining about, well, don't dig there, you know, because that's my side of the property line. What if you tried sharing the gospel with somebody, right? Let's preach the gospel, because the reason the gospel was preached to us so we could preach it to others. Yeah. Amen? All right, number four. Here's the fourth reason, and I think the most important reason of why the gospel was preached to the Gentiles. Number one, God's will is for everybody to be saved. Number two, provoke the Jews to jealousy. Number three, that scripture might be fulfilled and Christ could return. Number four, the gospel saves people. It's not ideologies or philosophies that save people. It's not trying to be a better person that saves people. It's not good morals that save people. You can live your entire life and have good morals and be a good person and still not go to heaven unless you accept this gospel message. And I'll show you in scripture. There was a young man, a rich young ruler that came to Jesus. And he said, hey, what do I need to do, teacher, to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you need to follow the commandments. He said, which ones? Jesus listed off some commandments. He said, yeah, I've actually done all that. And I think it's interesting that Jesus didn't correct him. He didn't say, no, you didn't. He let it go because apparently this guy was telling the truth. You know what Jesus said? You still lack one more thing. Even though you've been a good person, you've had good morals, you've obeyed your parents, you hadn't killed anybody, you've kept all these things, you're still lacking in one area. You need to go sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and follow after me. The Bible says that he hung his head and he went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. Really what it should have, not what it should have said, but what we can interpret it as, he went away because many possessions had a hold of him. He had not adhered to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, being a good person will not get you into heaven. I know we know that, but we have to keep that in mind that, look, it doesn't matter how kind or how, you know, good somebody is, they can only get to heaven if they know Jesus Christ. And that's what the gospel is. Because you may say, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? Very simply, the gospel means good news or to bring glad tidings. And what is that good news? What is the glad tidings? The fact that Jesus Christ came to earth and died on a cross and was resurrected and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And unless we know him, we can't get to the Father. There is no way to get to the Father except by Jesus and Jesus alone. And so it's the gospel that saves people. It's not going to church that saves people. It's not being a member of a church that saves people. It is only by knowing Jesus Christ. All throughout Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, He almost to the point where he stresses the importance of the gospel. He mentions it over and over and over. As you read 1 Corinthians, just look at how many times he talks about the gospel being preached, or I preach the gospel over and over again, because he knows that, look, you can't be saved if you don't believe this gospel message, this good news. In fact, in the first chapter, he says this, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." And he's coming off of a discourse where he said, look, when I came, I didn't baptize any of you. Okay, well, yeah, maybe baptized him and him and him. But other than that, I don't know if I baptized anybody. But the point I'm trying to get to is God didn't send me to baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the gospel changes people. He said, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Some people struggle with that verse because they think, well, if it's foolishness, how are they going to be saved? The moment that you accept the gospel, it's no longer foolishness. It's now power. When you say, all right, I'm putting my faith in God, all of a sudden the blinders come off, the veil comes off, and you realize there's power in the cross. It's not a foolish message, it's a powerful message. In the 9th chapter, you know what Paul told the Corinthians? He said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. I would say to you, woe to you, woe to me if we don't preach the gospel. If we don't go to Fort Payne and Valley Head and Rainsville and Collinsville and anywhere that your travels or your life or your job or anything takes you, woe is our us if we don't preach the gospel. You know what the apostle's saying there? Shame on me. Shame on me if I don't offer people the same freedom that I've been extended. Shame on me if I don't take what I've been given in this gospel message to know that only through Jesus can my life be made whole and my life be made well. If I don't tell people, in fact, he's saying, what sorrow and what grief is accumulated when I fail to share the good news that sets people free and brings liberty and brings transformation. In the 15th chapter, as he's starting to land the plane, the apostle uses these words in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 15. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. That's what I'm writing to you about. I declare to you the gospel, which I preach to you, which you also received, and in which you stand. Listen to verse 2. By which also you are saved. I feel like somebody's been having trouble with the fact that I've said the gospel saves people. And you think the gospel doesn't save people. We're saved by grace through faith. What do you think the gospel is? The fact that there's grace and you can put your faith in God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that it's just a message that saves people. I'm talking about what's inside the message. The message must always be Jesus. He's saying, I preach Jesus to you. I preach the cross to you. I preach grace to you. I preached holiness to you. And it's that gospel by which you are saved only if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. And I fear there's a lot of people in the world that are believing in vain, especially in Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, the Bible Belt, that, well, yeah, I've heard the gospel. I believe in Jesus. Listen, even demons believe and tremble. Are you holding fast to the word that has been spoken? Are you putting your faith in it? Are you putting your life into it? He said, by this gospel which I preach, that is what saved you. So here's my point in a nutshell. If Jesus hadn't been preached among the Gentiles, we wouldn't be sitting here today. You'd probably be at home watching, you know, the pregame for the NFL right now and not having any clue of what was going on. But instead, we're here today. How many of you have been saved? How many of you God has healed you before? How many of you God has spoken to you before? How many of you God has changed you from being depressed to being happy, from being fearful to being faithful, from being hopeless to being full of hope? Well, guess what? Could not have happened if somebody didn't go, let's go tell the Gentiles about what happened. And if you go back to Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit of God was poured out, it was Peter that walked out on that porch of the upper room and he began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was fulfilled what was spoken in Joel chapter 2, that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles and the Jews alike. If it weren't for the gospel being preached to the Gentiles, we would still be locked up in sin and shame. We would be damned by the actions of our own person, not knowing God and having been restored and revealed in our mind and in our eyes the fact that there's freedom in Christ Jesus. But I, for one, am thankful that the gospel message has been preached to the Gentiles. But now we have a responsibility, because if it's been given to us, what's that old saying? With great power comes great responsibility. Anybody know who first said that? Everybody thinks it's like a president. It was Spider-Man's uncle. Spider-Man's uncle said, with great power comes great responsibility. And it was such a great quote that actually you can find it throughout history, both before that and after that. And it's been transliterated in so many different ways to say it, but it all comes back to that same truth. And he actually said it best, because if you read the other quotes before and after, you're like, yeah, but with great power comes great responsibility sounds a lot better and a lot more stately. But it's true. If the gospel's been preached to you and me, listen, we're thieves if we don't share it. If you know Jesus has saved you and you don't tell somebody else about that, you and I are robbing people of the opportunity to know Jesus. And we can see this throughout Scripture. When Jesus would heal somebody or set somebody free, he said, hey, don't go tell anybody. What'd they do? They went and told everybody, right? Why? Because when you've truly been touched by the gospel, you cannot keep it to yourself. In fact, that's what Jesus said when he was teaching in the book of Matthew. He said, let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. He said, nobody lights a candle and then puts a basket on top of it. Do you know what he's saying when he says that? Nobody gets saved and then tries to hide the fact that they're saved. Nobody gets healed and then tries to go, I don't want anybody to know that I got healed. Nobody gets set free and then goes, I don't want anybody to know the embarrassment of what I had from. If you light a candle, you do it so that it can illuminate the house. He said, a city that is set on a hill, not it won't be hidden, not it shouldn't be hidden, it cannot be hidden. If the gospel's been preached to us, why are we not more active in making it known to other people? If you truly, you raised your hands, you've been saved, you've been healed, you've been delivered, you've been made happy, you've been made whole, then guess what? You and I have a responsibility to share the same with other people. Because the gospel was preached to us, we should do it as well. But listen to me in this. Not in word only. This is where I want to end today. Not in word only. What do I mean by that? I don't just mean by going up and sharing your faith with someone. That's important. It's needed. We should all do it. But for too many years, the church has been all words and no action. Hey, come to church. Hey, you need to believe the Bible. Hey, you need to know Jesus. But then when it comes to be kind, nobody's kind. When it comes time to be loving, nobody loves. We don't follow the stuff that Jesus says, like if somebody strikes you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If somebody asks for your cloak, give them your tunic as well. If somebody asks you to drive them a mile down the road, drive them 2 miles down the road. But you know what we will do? We will badger people to go to church or to get saved. You need to get your life right. You need to quit sleeping around. You need to quit drinking. You need to quit doing that. Do you realize that your words would carry a lot more weight if you actually walked out what you say that you believe? So let's not just share the gospel indeed only. I know it's an old quote that has been used a lot, but it's true when it says, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Now, I would argue you kind of have to use words, but I get the point of what the person was trying to make, that it shouldn't just be what we say, but also what we do. Let there be love in what you say. Let there be peace in how you carry yourself. Let there be hope. When you walk in a situation, it should go from hopeless to hopeful, because you're so full of hope that it overflows into everybody else. This is why Paul wrote to Timothy and hearkened to him the fact that the Gentiles had received the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I say this, let us continue to preach this gospel message. Because Jesus said the end won't come until this gospel has been preached everywhere. That's our responsibility. That's our job. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every race, every social status. Let's be carriers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but not just in word, in deed as well. Amen? Stand to your feet with me this morning. If you would, bow your head and close your eyes. Heavenly Father, We thank you for the message of the gospel that saves us. In fact, I thank you that Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 1 and verse 16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power, is salvation for the Jew first, but he said also for the Greek. In fact, I want to read that scripture because I slightly butchered it there. I want to read it because I believe in the power of the word of God. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Here's what I want to do today. I want to give you the opportunity with every head bowed and every eye closed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I think part of the reason the gospel doesn't go forth is because there's something inside of us that is ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're afraid of being made fun of. Listen, Jesus already said they're going to hate you. But listen, they don't hate you. What he said is they actually hate me if they hate you. And so I want to take away that reproach and that shame today. Not me, but I want to pray for you that that would happen and that our eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we, like Paul, could say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I won't be ashamed at church. I won't be ashamed at work. I won't be ashamed in the grocery store. I won't be ashamed when I'm on vacation. I believe that the gospel truly is the power of God to transform people's lives. And if you just, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're saying, I want to repent for being ashamed of the gospel, and I want to take a stand for the truth, would you just lift your hand? My hand's up, because I know that there's been times when I've been ashamed and I shouldn't have been. In fact, I often think of this. If Jesus was willing to hang naked on a cross, despised by all of mankind, and the sin of the world put dispersed upon him, if he was willing to take that kind of ridicule, why would I not be willing to bow my head in public and pray? Why would I not be willing to walk up to someone and ask them if they know Jesus? Why would I not be willing to help someone that's in need of help or serve someone that seems maybe to others to be below me? Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for being ashamed of the gospel. Forgive us for not saying what we should say and doing what we should do. Forgive us for not being the church that you've called us to be, Lord. I pray that you would help us to truly be like that city that's set on a hill, God. Let us not in any way be embarrassed or ashamed of who you are or of what you call us to do, God. But let us be men and women of faith that will take you at your word and do whatever it is that you're asking us to do. Lord, I'm asking today that you would set free every person here that is dealing with that sense of being ashamed of the gospel, and that we would be unashamed and that we would have boldness. Lord, as they prayed in the book of Acts, I pray for boldness to declare your word, boldness to stand for the truth, boldness to be a man or a woman of God that you've called for your people to be. Lord, I pray that you would give unction and that you would give utterance. And as you do, that we would be obedient to follow suit, and we would go after you, and we would reach out to the lost. We would reach out to the broken. Lord, I pray that you would equip people today, that tomorrow at work, they would carry the gospel with them. They would carry the presence of God, and they would not be ashamed of who you are or what you're doing in their life, God, but that we, like the people that Jesus touched and set free, would go and tell everybody that we possibly can, because you have changed us and saved us from the inside out. We love you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. And may you not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first and also to the Greek. In Jesus' name, we love you. Have a great week. Be blessed.